once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Okay, I think that we are actually on the air now. We had some technical difficulties, and our engineer is in the process of fixing it. I think we're going to be in good shape. So we can go back to where we started, Jack.
So are we ready?
Yes, I think we are. I think we're actually going on the air. It looks like everything is going the way it should, thanks to Chuck Rohr, of course, who fixes everything for everybody.
Fantastic.
So go ahead and introduce your guest.
Okay, very good. Well, we welcome into studio this evening Mr. Brian Reichert from Fort Recovery High School. Hello, Brian.
Hello, how are we doing?
Good.
Good now.
Good, yeah. And Brian is the, and you can correct me if I mess this up, he is the one of the high school English teachers,
correct,
as well as the career exploration teacher.
Yes, correct? That's right. That's right.
So how long have you been with Fort Recovery Schools, Brian?
So this is my seventh year at Fort Recovery Local Schools. I spent five of those years, the first five, down in the junior high. I got hired as the eighth grade English language arts teacher, so I worked that for 5 years before moving up to the high school.
Fantastic. So, was the Fort Recovery job your first job?
No, actually, I worked at Arcanum High School for 3 years. I taught 10th grade English and some 8th grade English down there. And then when I saw that Fort Recovery had an open position, I hopped on that as fast as I could. This was a district I've wanted to work in, so.
Fantastic. Now, with the last name Reichert, okay, so we know that we've got Reichert's in the Fort Recovery area.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, I know there are Reichert's in the Montezuma area, mm-hmm, and we've got Reichert's in the St. Henry area.
Sure.
So which tribe do you fall in?
We're the St. Henry group.
Yep.
I think we're related to all the Reichert's from those other clans, but yeah, we're the St. Henry one.
Fantastic. Married and kids?
Married and kids, yes. So I'm married to my wife is Casey. She is a civil engineer. She actually works at Choice One Engineering in Sydney. So she does a lot of civil engineering work, even here in town, here in Fort Recovery. And we've got two kids currently. We've got a four-year-old, Urban, and a two-year-old, Colette. So those two keep us very busy.
And fantastic.
And another one on the way.
One on the way. Coming in November,
Yeah. It'll be here before we know it.
You're going to be a busy twosome.
Oh, yeah.
So, I tell you what. Let's talk. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the English piece of it. Okay?
Sure.
So, what was it that made you go into English education as a major?
Yeah, so I think my whole life I've been very into reading, writing. It's just, that was always the class I was most drawn to. If I had extra time at home, I was reading books and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And so when it came time to decide on college, I was a little undecided going into my senior year. I wasn't quite sure, and all of a sudden it just kind of popped in my head. I think I could make a pretty decent teacher. And once I decided on that, I had to figure out the subject area.
Yeah,
I figured I already got an interest in English, so I might as well go into that. And that's kind of been the path I took. So I went up to Bowling Green, BGSU, and I spent 4 years up there getting my undergrad in integrated language arts, which allows me to teach 7 through 12 English.
Very good. And then, so you spent 5 years at the middle school,
mm-hmm,
two now to high school. Which is your preference?
Yeah, so High school is my preference, yeah. When I went to BG, I went for, and my license is 7-12, so I can teach those grades, and I think it was always the goal to teach high school.
Yep.
But I decided to teach middle school for those 5 years because I saw a job opening, and I thought, well, I want to get my foot in the door, and if this is the way to do it, this is the way to do it. So I taught at the middle school for 5 years, and I really enjoyed teaching at the middle school. There are some great teachers. The students were awesome. But the second I saw that high school job open up, I applied for it, I went for it, and thankfully I got it.
fantastic. So as like as an English teacher, and so do you teach everything from freshmen up to the seniors or what?
I can. Right now, the position I'm in, I just teach ninth grade English. Okay. In terms of the English classes. I could teach other classes, but Tracy Obringer's kind of got the sophomores on lockdown and some of that college credit seniors, and then Brent Niekamp's our other English teacher with the juniors and some of our other seniors, and so it's full, and yeah. I got the ninth grade for now, so yep. Really, I only moved up 1 year, but...
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
But it is the high school.
But it is the high school, yeah.
Different building.
Different building, different staff, you know. And the kids, they're different once they move up a building, too.
So, you know, as a teacher, you know, and we all know that teachers don't do what they do because of money.
Oh, sure.
Okay? So, when you think about achieving your ultimate success, mm-hmm. as an English teacher, mm-hmm. okay, what does that look like?
I think the ultimate success is students who enjoy reading and students who can go out in the world and they can read, they can write well. And I think because of that, it comes with an open mind. And I think students who are able to think critically and have an open mind and things are going to be much more successful in their lives than those who are really narrow-minded and maybe don't have those critical thinking skills that they get through reading and writing.
Yep. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about the career exploration part of your job. And I think that that's a piece that I think people are kind of inquisitive about, yeah. because they're not quite sure exactly what the hell that means. So we're going to come back and find out right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who is dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fort Recovery Music Boosters will be holding their annual all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday, September 22nd at the Legion from 8:30 to 12:30. Tickets are available from any high school or junior high school band or choir member, or you can also get them at the door. The tickets are only $8 each, and kids age 5 and under are free, and carryouts will also be available. You'll get scrambled eggs, sausage, pancakes, fruit, breakfast pastries, and a drink. So step out for breakfast on Sunday morning, September 22nd, for the annual Music Boosters All-You-Can-Eat Breakfast from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Legion. The public is invited to Fall Fest at Christ Chapel on Wabash Road across from the Fort Recovery Lumber Company. It'll be held on Sunday, September 29th from noon to 6. There will be activities for people of all ages with free food and drinks, live music, a cornhole tournament, bingo, lots of kiddies games and youth games, and did I mention free food and drinks? also a corn maze, inflatables, crafts for the kids, many tractor rides, and lots of fun for people of all ages. And did I mention the free food and drinks? It's open to everyone in the community, and it's all free. So stop out anytime on Sunday, September 29th, and stay as long as you like. Lots of activities for people of all ages. And did I mention free food and drinks? Christ Chapel Fall Fest, Sunday afternoon, September 29th from noon to 6 on Wabash Road across from Fort Recovery Lumber.
Right, Neil?
Yes,
are we back?
Yes, we are.
We're back.
And our sound is metering. It wasn't when we started, so we had to play a couple of songs while Chuck logged on and fixed everything for us. So the wizard did his job, as always.
Very good. So we're talking to Brian Reichert, the high school English teacher and career exploration teacher at Fort Recovery Schools. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, we talked about your English piece of it. So now let's talk about the career exploration teacher.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So who takes a career exploration class?
Yeah, great question. So all of our students have to take a career exploration class at Fort Recovery. It's a graduation requirement. Mostly it's our junior class. So our 11th graders are the primary students in the class.
16, 17 year olds,
yeah. There are some sophomores who take it, and it sort of depends on their schedule, and maybe if they want to go TriStar their junior year and it doesn't fit otherwise. But yeah, so it's mostly juniors at the high school, which I honestly, we have found to be a really good age for a career exploration class. They're kind of at the right age where they're thinking about their future careers. They're at the right age where they can drive to a job shadow. You know, it kind of fits well with where they're at developmentally, and also kind of where they're at in school.
Very good. And so, okay, so a career exploration class, and you talked about the job shadowing and the mentoring type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like, I were to look at a syllabus, I don't even know if you call it
a syllabus.
That's still a word.
Yeah, we still use those. Yeah, in the high school, at least.
So if, like, you were to look at that, what types of new bullet points am I going to see for that class?
So there's a few primary things we're doing. So one of the big things we're doing is the job shadow and the preparation for the job shadow. And one of the ways we're preparing for that is, by exploring the 16 career clusters that have been created over the years. Essentially what that means is all of the careers that we can go out and get in the world can kind of fit into these 16 career clusters.
So it might be like
agriculture,
technology,
there's like
accounting,
construction, there's engineering, there's education, all those different kind of umbrellas. And so we explore all those umbrellas in class, and the students explore all of them because I want them exposed to all of these varieties of careers. And then they go out and they do their job shadow, and they learn sort of some on the job kind of lessons and what they might expect from various careers. So that's kind of one aspect of the class. Another aspect of the class is preparing students to complete the Ohio Means Jobs Readiness Seal, which is so seals are these graduation requirements, and I could go on for probably the rest of the time about graduation requirements, so that's real confusing. But one of the things they have to do is they have to get these seals, and they earn them in various ways, but one of the seals is the Ohio Means Jobs Readiness Seal, which was created by the Ohio Department of Education, and it was also created with I don't even know the department, that's some employable department, with the Ohio. Anyway, so what they did was they narrowed down 14 different professional skills that they think students should have in order to be an employable professional. And so in class, we go through each and every one of those skills and what it would look like in a career, and maybe students have to self-identify how they are demonstrating these various skills, and then ultimately they have to go out into the community and get signatures from people who can verify that they are actually using these skills and demonstrating these skills out in the world. So to go back to your question, essentially classes, preparing for the OMJ and those professional soft skills, if you will. It's, they've been called soft skills and hard skills for a long time. So these are mostly soft skills. And then the job shadow and those types of things.
Yeah. And you, it is interesting because you talk about the new soft skills. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those soft skills can be really hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, and I think a lot of students, maybe, and even adults, don't realize the soft skills necessary to be a really, like, a good professional, to be a good person, yeah. even. They might not even be aware that those are important things. Yep. And so teaching our students that, you know, being on time is actually really important. It's not, like, kind of optional. It's one of those things. It's one of those soft skills that we need to learn. And some of us just have it, and some of us need to actually learn how to be good at it.
Yeah. Yep. So then, you'd mentioned like the job shadowing piece of it. Now, I know when you have, I'm just going to pick a number, when you have 70 juniors mm-hmm. that are taking this class, okay, that it's probably physically impossible to find a job shadow for all 70 of those students.
Well, yeah, I definitely don't find the job shadows for them. So, yeah, so they are split. So if we say 70, 75, they're split in half, so it's a semester class.
Okay.
But, yeah, they have to go out and they have to find their own job shadows. And that's one of the tasks. And that's something that we talk about in classes. How do we find a job shadow? How do we find a business that might even want us and have a job that I'd be interested in? And then how do I reach out to them? Do I send them an email or what does that look like? Do I give them a phone call? How do I talk to them on the phone? And then how do you set up a job shadow? You know, how do you behave when you're there? How should you dress? How should you act? And those are all things that we talk about in class. And then the students have to actually go out and they have to find a job shadow. Now, I will help them. You know, sure. I have contacts in the community. I have contacts in the larger world. And I can try to help them. But ultimately, they're the ones doing the reaching out. They're the ones setting sure. up the dates and everything. And their parents have been super helpful for that. And I actually know Mr. Stahl, our superintendent a few years back worked really hard to get a list of local businesses that would accept job shadows. And so that's another resource that our students have is I give them that document and they can look at it. They can contact various local community professions and they can hopefully set up a job shadow there too.
And I'll tell you what, from a business standpoint, you know, I think there's a tremendous learning curve in getting kids and even teachers to a certain extent to understand the wide variety of jobs mm-hmm. that are available within 10 miles of Fort Recovery High School.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that a lot of our students, well, and all of us, I maybe don't even understand the amount of jobs that are available and the variety of jobs. Yeah. You know, the example we always give is a lot of our students say, oh, I want to go and be a nurse after high school, which is a fantastic profession. We need all the nurses we can get. But they don't understand that there's not just nurses and doctors. There are respiratory therapists. There are lab techs. There's so many medical professions out there that our students could pursue that maybe aren't nursing, and that might be a better fit for them. And so educating students on all of the careers present, you know, just going into business you don't just go into business. You specialize in finance or management or accounting or whatever it might be. And so educating students on all of those various careers, I think is really important. And then also educating them on what's here, what's local, what's, you know, present around them that they could pursue a career in.
Yep. Good. So one thing I want to get a little bit better understanding of is the Ohio Means Job Seal.
Yeah.
Okay. So the seal is something that the students receive from passing that part of this course?
Yeah, so there's kind of these requirements, and they get a document, and we talk about it kind of all throughout the semester, and so they have to, and I'll just break it down a little bit. So they, like I said, they have to be able to demonstrate each of these 14 skills. So things like reliability, work ethic, professionalism, learning agility.
So it's almost like a scout badge to a certain extent.
Absolutely, and that's okay. Kind of what the seals are, actually, yep. is kind of your demonstration of a of a specific thing. And so they have to demonstrate all these skills, but then they have to identify three mentors, and they could be teachers, they could be coaches, they could be bosses, they could be scout leaders, you know, and people out in the community who have seen them demonstrate this skill. And those mentors that they identify, you know, they say, yes, I see Johnny demonstrating these skills, add a little note. And then when the student gets all of their skills signed off on by their three mentors, or by added up to be all the skills by their three mentors, they give me the paper, they give me the form that they need to complete. I review it. I decide if I think it's good enough to earn a seal. And if I think it's good enough to earn a seal, then I pass it on to our principal, Mr. Steinbrenner. Ultimately, he's the one who decides if a student earns this seal. If they do earn the seal, they get a big stamp on their paper. They get a seal that goes on their graduation transcript, and that's a check off the list. They don't have to worry about that seal anymore. A lot of our students might not need it. They get it in other ways, but this is a great source for our students to have. Plus, if they have the seal, that could conceivably go on a resume, and it could show employers, local employers, that, hey, this student demonstrates all these skills. They've earned their OMJ, Ohio Means Jobs Writing a Seal, and therefore they should exemplify these professional soft skills, and they should be a good employee. And so that's ultimately one of our goals between me, Mr. Steinbrenner, and Mr. Stahl, is kind of educating our community also that if you're signing this, you know, what it actually means.
Yep.
But then also, if you're someone who hires students or hires people, if they have an OMJ seal, this is what it actually means to have that.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk more about the school business partnership. And, you know, I know that we have a business advisory council, I think.
In the county, yeah.
Okay. So we'll be back to talk about that right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual-clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
It's time for supper, and you don't have time to make a great meal. No problem. Let Miracle Lanes come to the rescue. With their full menu of great food, everybody can get what they want. Subs, sandwiches, wraps, salads, wings, and of course their great pizza. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And don't miss their pizza wing and salad buffet on Friday at lunch. And remember to call and reserve your lanes for that special birthday party, family get-together, holiday party, or just for fun. Great food, great friends, great times. Miracle Lanes, open Monday through Thursday at 3 and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 11.
Join us on September 22nd at 2 p.m. for a special tribute concert to the music of John Denver at the Elementary Middle School Auditoria, 865 Sharpsburg Road in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Washington State native Ted Vigil will perform the John Denver tribute concert to help the Opera House Committee raise funds for the ongoing renovation of the historic Opera House. John Denver, an iconic American songwriter and singer, captivated audiences in the 70s and 80s with his Grammy-winning hits such as Take Me Home, Country Roads, Sunshine on My Shoulders, and Rocky Mountain High. Experience the music that made John Denver a worldwide sensation. Tickets are available at the Tin Cupboard or Cout Pharmacy in Fort Recovery. For more information, please call 419-375-3034. Limited tickets may be available at the door on the day of the concert. So don't wait. Purchase your tickets now for Sunday, September 22nd, the John Denver Tribute Concert benefiting the Fort Recovery Opera House.
Will be hosting their third annual golf outing on Saturday afternoon, October 5th at the Mercer County Elks, with the shotgun start at 1 o'clock and registration starting at noon. There are a limited number of spots still available, so get entered now by going to racing4relief@gmail.com or by calling or texting Alan Seifring at 419-852-0907 or John Yoder at 419-953-7762. Besides a great day of golf to help a great cause, there will be door prizes, tip books, and a 50-50 drawing. The cost is just $60 per golfer and is payable the day of the event. Racing for Relief is a great local organization that donates money to fire, EMT, and police departments all over the area. And this fun event is a good way for you to have fun and help them raise money for local first responders. Get signed up now for this fun golf outing by going to racing4relief@gmail.com. Coming up on Saturday, October 5th at 1 o'clock at the Mercer County Elks.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, we're talking to Mr. Brian Reichert about the Fort Recovery High School career exploration class. And it's a really neat idea. So this class has been going on up at the high school for how long?
I actually don't even know when it was created. I know.
You know it's been at least 2 years you've done it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then I know Mindy Luthman, she taught it before me, and I know she taught it for a few years, and Mrs. Patty Layfield, she taught it previous to that. I don't know if it was around before then. I'm sure some iteration existed.
Yeah.
But that's kind of who I've modeled my class after, is those two individuals who did a lot to create this class and build it up.
So as you know, talked about the actual class and what's expected of kids, but you know, part of what's helped you in this process is being part of the Mercer County Business Advisory Council,
yes,
too, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been huge in the development of my class and my education as a career exploration teacher. You know, I went to college to teach English, and that was sort of professionally all I had done. And so when I took this job and when I began planning out this class, I was very unsure how to make those connections with local businesses and kind of even what to talk to students about. And so I was invited through the county, and Mrs. Amy Kaiser, our guidance counselor at the high school, she's also been huge in helping me organize this class and create this class. But she really recommended that I go to these county meetings that are quarterly with the Business Advisory Council. And so the three individuals, Sandy Holt Heidi with Mercer County ESC, Jared Ebbing with Mercer County Community Economic Development, and Tammy Eilerman with Wright State, those three have done a fabulous job bringing local schools and all sorts of local businesses together quarterly to discuss, you know, what do we want our students to be prepared for in the workforce.
I'll tell you what, if like there's a more valuable individual in the county than Jared Ebbing,
oh, he does so much.
I would like to meet that.
Oh yeah,
guy.
I know.
You know, when like you look at what he's brought to the county over the past, I don't know how long he's been in the job, at least 20 years, I'm guessing. It is just incredible what he's done.
And he's passionate about it, too.
Yeah.
You can tell when he talks, he has a passion for local business. And he wants our best and our brightest to be working in this county and in this area. And I think that's incredibly important.
He wants kids like that to know that you don't have to go far to make a good living and to live in a place where you can raise your family too.
Yeah, and to be able to contribute to the place that you were raised, you grew up. Don't you want to give back to that to that area? And I think he's huge with that.
Yeah. So part of what we talked about off the air was how it seems like kids' interest or the direction that and I'll say schools are pushing kids, but that's not necessarily the case. But it seems like 10 to 15 years ago, 80 to 85% of the kids were in a kind of a college format where that's what they were going to do. Now I'm guessing that it's much less than that.
Yeah, so that I think that four-year bachelor's degree track, you said pushed on, and I think maybe it was promoted pretty heavily in school. And I was in high school 10-15 years ago, and it was a big topic. That's kind of what all our teachers were telling us we should do to hopefully make money, you know, have the best jobs possible. And I think that the cultural conversation around that bachelor's degree has shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
And we all know how important the trades are. And I think the trades have really become a lot more a path that students are pursuing. We actually just had a BAC meeting on Monday, and they ran the statistics of all of our graduating seniors of the county. And I want to say there was like 600 to 800 graduating seniors last year. And they just identified where they were planning to go.
Yeah.
And 53% said they intend to go to a four-year degree. So where you thought maybe 80% a few years ago, it's kind of dropped down to 53. But that doesn't mean they're not getting an education, because a large portion who aren't going for four-year are intending to go for a two-year or a trade or certificate or something like that. And I think the education and the promotion from schools has really become, maybe you don't need a four-year degree. Maybe that's not the right path for you. But what is the right path? And oftentimes it is, let's get an education. Let's do something beyond just like a high school graduation. Now, again, that's still not the right path for all of our students. And we want to make sure that no matter what path our students take, it's the right one for them.
Sure.
Moving forward.
Or, you know, if you're able to steer kids into a path of something that they're interested in and a path of something that they enjoy doing, then it won't seem to them like they're going to work every day.
Yeah. I tell students that all the time. At the beginning of every semester, I ask students, what's one of your biggest career goals? And the number one answer, by far, money. I want to make lots of money. And I think money is important. I mean, we need it, you know, with the prices of everything. But it's not all about money. If you hate your job every single day, you're not going to live probably the happiest life.
Yes.
It's, what, one-third of your entire day, at least, is at work. And so I want students to pursue a career that they actually can enjoy. And it's not always about the money. Although, I think if they're pursuing a career they like, they're going to do a better job at it, and they're likely going to make more money than if they're just pursuing a job that they don't enjoy at all. Why would you even want to progress in the job if you don't like it? Yeah. So that's one of my biggest pushes. Stop worrying about money and just worry about a job that you actually can enjoy.
Yeah. You know, and when you think about this change in the philosophy of four-year school or not a four-year school, you know, I think there's a couple of contributing factors. One is TriStar.
Absolutely.
You know, kids are getting exposed to a lot of different things at a much deeper level than what they were 15 years ago.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have been out to the new TriStar building since they built it a few years back, but it is a stunning building. It's a beautiful place. Kids want to go there. Yeah. And I don't blame them for wanting to go there. I think a lot of the programs they offer are excellent for our students. Yeah. They're hands-on, they're engaging, and they are high interest for our students. And oftentimes, a lot of those programs actually are preparing our students. Either they earn some certificates that they can, you know, put on their resume, show to future employers, or they're setting themselves up for those two-year programs, those certificate programs. They're putting themselves in a position where they can be successful at those. And I agree. I think that has really helped the trade
locally. And I'll tell you what, I think that the second piece of that is that businesses have done a better job of communicating their opportunities to kids at a younger age. Yeah. You know, if you look 15 years ago, there was a very small amount of kids that looked at you know, local factories as an opportunity right out of high school. Mm-hmm. You know, now they can go into these places through the job shadowing or whatever, mm-hmm. and see what they do, mm-hmm. find a field that they like, and they can grow with that business.
Absolutely.
And I think just having kids know that is a tremendous plus.
And, you know, that's something that I don't even know if I knew, but, and I think we'll talk about it, but we created these lunch and learns at the high school where we're bringing in presenters from various careers to talk to our students. And so far we've had two this year, and we've had Mercer Health come in. They sent a variety of professionals that work at Mercer Health, and we've had Calp Pharmacy up here uptown. And both times they made that exact point. They said, you know, you can start working here. I think both were 18 and yeah. up, but you know, even if you're in high school, apply here, start working here, get your foot in the door. We'll potentially help with your education. You can work here all through college. You have your foot in the door. You can, you know, start right when you graduate. And I think that is so important for students to hear, because yeah. they know that there's an opportunity. They know there's a light at the end of the tunnel that they don't necessarily have to seek out quite as much. Now they can. They can always leave. They can always go sure. elsewhere, but it's an option. And I think yep. that's really important for our students.
I've seen personally several different pharmacists, today's pharmacists, that started as just clerks running the cash register yes. at Calp Pharmacy.
Yeah.
And then they probably had that in their head. They wanted to do pharmacy, but they at least got to see how all that works. And maybe they decided they didn't want to, but they, yeah. then they would go on to college, and while they're in college, they're still doing pharmacy tech stuff and still mm-hmm. making money in the same place and
absolutely.
Seeing how everything works. And when it's time to graduate, I can promise you Calp Pharmacy wants to have them.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's someone who they know and can trust, and they've been there, they've done it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. But also what you said, it could be just as important to have those jobs in high school that you think you might want and yep. decide you don't want it.
Yeah.
That is just as important to decide yep. that in high school or early in college. Then.
Yeah, you don't want to get 3 years into college and think, ooh, I don't think I want to be a doctor. I don't think I'd give somebody a shot.
It's an investment, and I don't think you want to make that investment if you're yeah. not quite ready for it. And that's where job shadows are so important, too.
Yeah.
You go out into the community, you go out into these businesses, and you decide if it's something you like or not. And I've had many students already tell me in their reflection after job shadows, ooh, I don't think this is the job I want. I wasn't prepared for whatever they did. And I always tell students that is just as important as anything else. You now know that that's not the path you should be going, and you can change your path your education is going to take.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about what can the community do for you as far as making this career exploration even more effective. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steaks, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. And don't forget about their hamburgers, pork chops, boneless chicken breasts, and more. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will play at Coldwater, the number one team in the state, and we'll simulcast WPGW for that match. On Friday, our football team will host Delphus St. John's. Our pregame show will begin at 6:40 with our audio also on the NFHS video. That will also be Student Appreciation Night, with all Fort Recovery students getting in free and lots of games and prizes on Indian Alley starting at 5:45. Get out to every game you can this week to help cheer on our Indians team. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Our local Cy Iota's Eye chapter will be holding their Krispy Kreme fundraiser this Friday after the Delphus St. John's football game at Baron Brogy Field. They're only $12 a dozen, and you'll be the hero at breakfast on Saturday morning or eat a few after the game. Just remember to grab a dozen or two of the Krispy Kreme donuts on your way home. Cy Iota's Eye's Krispy Kreme donut sale this Friday after the football game with Delphus St. John's. Grab a couple of boxes on the way home after the game.
We're back. Neil, are you going to John Denver concert on Sunday?
Yes. Planning to, yes.
Are you going to sing along with all the songs?
No. I don't think that the other audience members would appreciate that very much.
Okay. I just wanted to know if I had to sit far away from you or not.
Well, you should anyway.
I should anyway. So we're back on Insight. We're talking to Brian Reichert, the English and Career Exploration teacher at Fort Recovery High School. And we have talked about a lot of stuff tonight, Brian. And you know, one of the things that I was wondering as, like, we talked about kids in the job shadowing and what profession or what area do you see and we understand that these are kids that are juniors and they may not completely see the big picture yet.
Yeah.
But what areas do they tend to migrate to?
Yeah. So, well, actually, so this being my second year in the job, it's kind of been interesting, the differences between the students from last year, kind of as a whole, and the difference to the students this year. Overall, though, we have tons of students interested in medical careers.
Yep.
Be that doctor, physical therapist, occupational therapist, nursing, like I said. A lot in engineering, a lot interested in business, a ton interested in the trades. The amount of students who are at TriStar this year, it's like half of the junior class went to TriStar to pursue education in those trades. But additionally, tons of ag-related careers. That is an area and one of those career clusters I discussed earlier where tons of our students are gravitating towards those ag-related careers. And I think a lot of that is the area we live in. We, you know, we're very agrarian. Yeah. But I think Joe Hawk at the high school and Michael Gower, the two ag teachers, they do such an excellent job preparing students for FFA, getting students interested in ag-related careers, doing all that sort of stuff out in the shop, and they do such an excellent job that I think students are drawn to those careers, and kudos to them for that, because they're preparing students, hopefully, for those careers in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, back when we were in high school, ag was for farmers.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah,
just
it's
farmers.
Not anymore.
And now the agriculture profession, as Jack can probably tell you better than anybody, is that, you know, there's 30 people that go out and check flocks of turkeys and chickens and hogs, and that's extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And probably for most of those people, guys and girls, very satisfying and a good paying job.
Absolutely.
And extremely important for this area, because poultry and livestock is maybe not the biggest, but it's huge. Mm-hmm. Obviously, corn and soybeans are a big deal, but you know, there's a whole bunch of, there's a thousand other things that are ag related that aren't planting corn.
Yeah, and I think those two teachers, I'm sure, do a much better job explaining it than I do. But yeah, it's not all just being a farmer. It's what an essential career, but it's even the people who fly drones to fertilize our crops or to to spray insecticides or whatever it might be. You know, our students are seeing that as career options. Students who may have never been drawn to ag-related careers are seeing this is the merger between technology and the way that, you know, we're going as a society, and the gap to back home, that agriculture that we've grown up with. And I think a lot of our students see that connection.
So as like... and you talked about the students from last year and the students from this year. So as you look at those kids, and I know that it's hard to generalize, mm-hmm. but when you look at the gap between what they should know and understand about their future and what they do know and understand. Where do you feel this class needs to help fill those gaps?
Yeah, well, and I think just being that first year last year, I don't think I was filling quite as many gaps in that education as I hoped I would. But one of the big things that I want for our students is that exposure to various careers. And so making sure that their job shadows are a useful tool for them, but also bringing in local speakers, bringing in people from various careers to come speak with our students about the careers and giving them an education in that, because that's an education that I can't really necessarily give them. I don't know all the local careers available. And so this year, I started a new program, and I'm calling it Lunch and Learns, and shout out to my wife, Casey, for helping me develop that idea, because one of the big things I struggled with last year was bringing in speakers when I have split class periods. You know, I've got a class second period, and I've got a class sixth period. Well, I always felt bad, maybe even rude, asking people to come in the morning and in the afternoon, and that's a lot of your day, and I know you got other things to work on. And so one of our ideas was to bring in presenters who can go to our community room. You know, when we built on the SAC at the high school, we built on a beautiful community room. And they can come in and they can speak with our students. And so I'm bringing in local businesses. And anyone listening, if you're interested in coming in, feel free to reach out to the school and we can get something set up. But bringing in local businesses who can come and speak to our students during the lunch hour. Our students will go grab a lunch down in the cafeteria. They'll come back and you can speak about your various careers. And, you know, I'm requiring my career exploration students to go to these. They get to choose, so they're choosing. I have a schedule on my board of who's coming in when, and they have to go. I'm assigning. They have to go to three of them for the semester. But they get to choose which they go to. So what's relevant to them, what's relevant to their interests, their future careers. But also these lunch and learn sessions are open to the entire high school. So if there's a freshman, sophomore, senior who's also interested in these careers, they can come, they can get an education on it. And I think that that's really important for our students, maybe not even in the class. And so that's one of the gaps that I'm really trying to fill this year is getting people in who can talk intelligently to these students about all sorts of local careers.
Yep. Fantastic. So, Neil, do we have one more break yet?
Yes.
Yep. I tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back with the gotcha question. So we'll be back right after this.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, I'm Harold Feely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Service in Fort Recovery. Ball is in the air, time for football, pumpkins, and getting your vehicle ready for cooler weather. Your maintenance appointments will include testing your battery and checking all fluid levels. We also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Join us on September 22nd at 2 p.m. for a special tribute concert to the music of John Denver at the Elementary Middle School Auditoria, 865 Sharpsburg Road in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Washington State native Ted Vigil will perform the John Denver tribute concert to help the Opera House Committee raise funds for the ongoing renovation of the historic Opera House. John Denver, an iconic American songwriter and singer, captivated audiences in the 70s and 80s with his Grammy-winning hits such as Take Me Home, Country Roads, Sunshine on My Shoulders, and Rocky Mountain High. Experience the music that made John Denver a worldwide sensation. Tickets are available at the Tin Cupboard or Cout Pharmacy in Fort Recovery. For more information, please call 419-375-3034. Limited tickets may be available at the door on the day of the concert. So don't wait. Purchase your tickets now for Sunday, September 22nd, the John Denver Tribute Concert, benefiting the Fort Recovery Opera House.
Ready? We're back.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did do that just to mess Neil up.
Yeah, I have to go back and edit out those 5-second pauses. but it only takes 3 seconds to do it, so no big deal.
So, Brian, it has been a quick hour. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things that I do want to touch on. First of all, let's make sure that we touch on how the community can help you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're local and you're interested in coming in and talking to our students for one of our lunch and learn sessions, that's one area where I could take any speaker, all the speakers I can get. So if you're interested in that, contact the school, contact me. You can find my email online. It's just RikerB@4RecoverySchools, or you can contact our principal, Mr. Steinbrenner, or guidance counselor Amy Kaiser, or superintendent Tony Stahl, whatever, which way you want to contact the school. If you want to come in and speak.
And also, that's like a half hour?
It's an hour time slot. Fill it however much you want. So you can fill the whole hour if you got a lot to talk about, if you have activities, if you have whatever, a presentation, but you can fill as little of that as you want to. That's totally fine. Additionally, if you're interested in job shadows, we want our students out in the community. And so contacting us if you're interested in job shadow, or just letting our students job shadow at your local businesses. Having an organized job shadow, a plan for, hey, if students contact us, what are we going to do with them so that they are engaged and interested in learning from us?
And a job shadow is a week?
No. Our job shadow is just one day. And my requirement is a minimum of 2 to 3 hours. It could be a half day. It could be a whole day. It's totally up to the employer who's hosting the shadow. But oftentimes, 2 to 3 hours is probably sufficient. Yeah.
And the idea of the job shadow is to give the student a pretty good idea of the all-around workings of that job in that business.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yep.
Very good. Okay, so here's my last gotcha question.
Okay.
Okay. As an English teacher.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm sure that grammar and literature and all that stuff has been and will continue to be very, very important to
you. Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So how do you tell a kid who is, who's, you know, pretty sure that he's going to be a welder, or he's going to work on farm machinery for the next 45 years of his life? How do you keep him interested in those other things that you teach.
Yeah. So, and I ran into this actually this past spring with teaching Shakespeare for the first time in years. You know, I teaching middle school, we didn't do Shakespeare. One of the things that I really want to make clear to students is, no, I don't expect you to go out and read Shakespeare for the rest of your life. It's not even something I'm doing for fun. But what does Shakespeare teach you? And being able to read Shakespeare, you know, how to think critically, how to think creatively, how to problem solve in an environment that's not so easy. So, you know, if you go out in your profession and you're welding and you run into challenges, how are you going to solve these challenges? And I think literature teaches our students how to flex those muscles in their brain that they need in order to solve complex problems. And I think the same thing with writing. You know, I don't know any careers, you guys could probably confirm this, where you're writing 5-paragraph essays regularly. It's just not a thing that we necessarily do. But learning how to write, learning how to organize our thoughts. You know, students are going to be sending emails for the rest of their lives. That's just something they're going to do. They're going to be creating applications. They're going to be communicating with their coworkers and with colleagues and with clients and all that kind of stuff. And so teaching our students how to write effectively is going to be essential for teaching them how to communicate effectively in the future. So, yeah, while you might not be reading Shakespeare or writing essays for the rest of your life, you're still going to be flexing those same skills forever. You should be flexing those skills forever. And so we want to train them now and so that they can translate those skills later on.
Damn, I think he did that good, didn't he?
That's pretty good.
You know what? I should have read more Shakespeare. I probably could have answered.
You might ask a better question, but they wouldn't make much more difference than that.
Well, he was still writing back in your day, so yeah. you weren't all caught up.
Yeah. You know what? And it's amazing how I don't know whether it's through text messaging or through TikTok or whatever it is, being able to put your thoughts down on paper or on a computer.
Or just be able to say things in a logical
order. And it's quickly becoming a lost art.
Yeah, it's a challenge for many of our students.
I mean, just follow almost any entertainment or sports star on any of these social sites, and you'll realize that I don't know what the hell they're talking about most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, we age out of a lot of those, you know, those references pretty quickly too. And I am also, but yeah. And I think so. We need to teach our students. TikTok is, you know, all that fast information. It's so different than how we actually communicate in life and how we communicate in our careers.
Professionally.
And so kind of what's the difference between the two and how can we separate them? And you know what? I know you're going to be TikToking and all that stuff the rest of your life. You know, there's always going to be the next wave of technology or social media or whatever it is. But keeping those separate and understanding that there is a difference between the two, and when do we go in this mode and when do we go in that other mode? Yep. You know, fantastic. They need to know that.
Brian, it was a quick hour, man.
Yes, sir. It was.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I encourage anybody out there who would love to come in and talk to, probably 15 or 20 high school students.
Yep, probably 15 or 20, depending on how many choose to come.
Yep. During your lunch period to contact the high school, Brian would absolutely love to have you. And keep us informed. Let's plan on doing this again when you need something. We'll get an update on the class. And I think the boys have a big night on Sports Talk.
Yes, they do.
We have Hal McCoy.
Travis Guggenbiller.
Travis Guggenbiller
is going to be in the studio, and Hal McCoy is going to call us, and they probably the anybody our age are probably one of our, if not our absolute favorite sports writer, one of them for sure, and
Hall of Famer.
He absolutely is, and a great guy.
And you know what? I haven't said this publicly, but I'm pretty sure our sports talk gurus are headed for that Hall of Fame too.
Yep.
You know, they're just that good.
Yes, they are. Get them elected out there.
Yep.
So, So yep. I tell you what, for Jack's Talk with Brian, thanks a bunch, fella.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
Stay tuned for Sports Talk right after this.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those